is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
It is not easy to stick to a diet. But in our text, Daniel knew about eating healthy and about diets. You see, we say, I'm going to stick to this diet if it kills me. But for Daniel and his friends, death was indeed a possibility. My brothers and my sisters, Daniel is a great example of what it means to make a resolution and to stick to it. Just let me give you some background to bring up. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had captured Judah, and the Bible says, praise God, and he had taken certain of the children of Israel. Those who looked good, those who could think. You see, the king was determined to teach the Israelites to dress, to eat, and to live just like the Babylonians. Oh, I believe I need to stop here for a minute. The word Babylonian means confusion, and it represents the world. In fact, when you see Babylon and used anywhere in the New Testament, it is a symbol of opposition to God. And this world, if you will, wants us, amen, as believers, to dress like the world, to eat like the world, and to live like the world. Amen. You see, he was determined, I'm talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, that they would follow all of the customs of the Babylonians. Therefore, the king selected the best and the brightest of the young Jewish men to be trained in the Babylonian way. You see, his reasoning was that if these select few were converted to Babylonian way, the rest of the Israelites would follow suit. I was getting ready to say something right now, but I would not say that right now. Amen. But Daniel makes a resolution. Perhaps I need to reread Daniel 1 and 8 again. For Daniel said, it says that Daniel purposed. That word purpose just means that he resolved, he determined in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which, praise God, he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch, eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked that he and his friends be tested 10 days. Amen. Go back and read it. Just go back and read. Praise God. 10 days after eating their own diet. The diet happened to be vegetables and water. Praise God. And he said, praise God, after we eat for 10 days, I want you to compare us with the other folk. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm getting ready to go somewhere. I want you to compare us with the other folk who eat of the king's royal food and of the king's wine. Yeah. And of course, if you go back and read the story, you'll find that after they had eaten for 10 days, praise God, the scripture says that they came back and they did the comparison. Oh my God. And Daniel and his friends. Oh, y'all know them boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It said that they looked better than the other group, a man who feasted on the royal food and wine. Oh, I need to park here for another minute. Can I remind each and every last one of us? Amen. You better leave the king's royal food and wine alone. I take a look sometimes when I'm walking around and I see folk, praise God, who may be 25 years old. No teeth. No hair. Strony. I'm just trying to tell you what the king's food and wine will do to you. Oh, yeah, and just in case you didn't know, just this past week, amen, there were two individuals right here in Alexandria, one woman and one young man, praise God, who lost their lives. I haven't read all of the story, but in every case, somebody tell me that some of the king's food and the king's wine was involved. Oh, yeah. So therefore, amen, we are not to feast on the king's food or the king's wine. God has provided for us everything that we need. I just look around, praise God, here today. I look at Deacon Green. I look at Deacon Robinson. Praise God. I look at my good sister over here. I can't call her name right now, but you know who I'm talking about. Way up in the 80s. Amen. And because they have been feasting off of the food of our Lord. Oh, I'm going to get to it in a little while here. Praise God. Look at them. Praise God. They look good. In fact, somebody could look at Sister Buckner, Deacon Robinson, or Deacon Green. Wouldn't even believe that they are the ages that they are. That's because, amen, they eat of the food from the master's table. Yeah, I haven't forgot you, Deacon Eli, back there. Deacon Eli told me, praise God, just on yesterday, I think he said if he live until the 20th or the 19th or something like this, praise God, that he's going to be 80 years old. Just look at him. Oh, praise God. That's what happens when you eat a man of God. from the master's table. I said that many will make New Year's resolutions for this year. And these resolutions may include healthy choices. They may involve financial changes, promises to study more and to spend more time with their parents or their children. And they may also include less complaining. Oh boy, I thought I was going to get a whole lot of amens out of that. Praise God. You see, resolutions we make may be resolutions of ways, to improve our health, our lifestyle, our ways to be and to better ourselves. And I believe that any resolution that will make us a better person is a resolution that is pleasing to God. But my brothers and my sisters, so I can wrap up this first one. When we make those type of resolutions, amen, we need to stick to them. But my second point is this. We need to make resolutions that affect us spiritually. All too often, when we make New Year's resolutions, we make them to affect us physically. But we need to choose some that will affect us spiritually. You see, spiritual resolutions are God-honored resolutions. Can I just give you a few, just in case you're sitting there saying, I really don't know what the pastor is talking about. You see, resolutions to attend church more regularly. Resolutions to attend Sunday school and to get involved in Bible study. Resolutions to pray more. Resolutions to start a daily quiet time with the Lord. Resolutions to give of your tithes and your offering. Resolution to serve the Lord more. Resolution to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Resolution to improve our relationship with God and with our fellow man. You see, these are resolutions that are honoring to God. You see, for Daniel and his friends, their resolution was more than a health issue or a choice to eat healthy food. You see, to adapt the Babylonian ways would be compromising their belief. In other words, they knew that by eating of the king's royal food, that they would affect their relationship with Almighty God. So if we continue to read in Daniel chapter 1, that ought to be some good homework reading for you when you go home, we will find that God blessed Daniel and his friends. Not only were they healthier and better, not only were they better nourished than the other young men that ate of the king's royal food, but they also were blessed. He blessed them with knowledge and understanding. Because if you turn to Daniel chapter 1 and look at verse 17, look what the word says. It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. If there is an area in our lives that is affecting our relationship with God, if it's a sin problem, if it's an unforgiving heart, if it's a relationship problem with a family member or, praise God, a church member, we ought to make a resolution. I'm talking about a firm decision, a strong commitment to a course of action for improvement and resolve it, praise God, for life. You see, someone may be asking, Pastor, but it's hard. You know what I have to say to the person that's asking that question? I don't know who you are, praise God. I got to tell you that with God, all things are possible. You see, we get, praise God, our strength from God. Oh, yeah. You see, Daniel did not tackle his problems alone. He got strength from his friends. I need to park there because I got so many young folks in here. Amen. I said he got strength from his friends. I didn't say acquaintance, because I always remind young folk, and some of the not so young, a friend will never allow a friend to do something that they know gonna get them in trouble. Oh, can I say that again? So Daniel drew strength from his friends, because friends will not let another friend do something that they know is going to get them in trouble. Amen. I tell all of my kids all the time. I said, now if that's your friend, amen. If that's showing up your ace in the hole, then praise God, you're going to look out for him or her to make sure that at the end of your 12th grade year, that both of y'all walk across the stage and get a diploma that you are going to love, a diploma that you have earned. But we find that Daniel grew and got strength from his friends, and he drew strength from God. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because if you keep on reading and go to the 6th chapter of Daniel, amen, we'll read that Daniel had developed a habit of praying. How many folks in here have developed a habit of praying? I'm not talking about hitting it every now and then. I'm talking about a habit of praying. Because if you go to the 6th chapter of Daniel, you'll find where Daniel, every day, he would go to his little room where he could look out to the hills. And the Bible says 3 times a day, Daniel would call on the Lord. So if you see that, you'll find that Daniel developed, amen, a habit of praying. He spent daily time with the Lord. And I got to tell us, if we're going to be completely victorious in 2021, we're going to have to spend some time with the Lord. Amen. You see, let me ask a question. Where do you think we're going to get the strength to stand up for each resolution that we make for this life? We are going to gain strength from one another. And we're going to gain strength from the Lord. Somebody say, well, why did you just say the Lord? Don't you know that we help one another? We are all in this race together. I can help you. You can help me. And if you just need a scriptural reference, the Hebrew writer writes, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But look what he says in that next phrase. He says, but exalting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I need not tell you, my brothers and my sisters, there is a day approaching where every last one of us are going to have to give an account of what we have done. And if you're still looking for some strength, Paul, when he was writing to the Philippian church, Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do, not some things, but I can do all things through Christ. See, that's the key. You can't do all things through your money. Can't do all things through your honey. But you can do all things through Christ that give you the strength. So when we make resolutions that affect us spiritually, and those that will better our living, God wants us to keep them as we draw strength from one another and from God to resolve these changes for our life. But finally, and as I close, praise God, I talk about the fact that we ought to stick to and keep those resolutions that we make. I said that we ought to make some resolutions that are spiritually. But finally, there ought to be some resolutions where there is a sacrifice. You see, when the Apostle Paul was addressing the church at Colossae, it sounds like a good New Year's resolution. Let me just remind your mind what Paul said at Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do I need to remind us, praise God, that we have all had to put off some things of this old man? Praise God, and he said, have put on the new. Let me see the hands of those who have put off the old man and put on the new. He said, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, when we make New Year's resolutions,
It sounds like what we desire is taking off the old ugly practices, putting on the new better ones. But in this text, Paul is speaking about more than just ugly habits. You see, Paul is speaking of a sacrifice. Paul is saying that being a believer is more than just making good resolutions. What he's saying that it means more than just having good intentions. It means taking the right actions. You see, as born-again believers, you've heard it 100 times. Our walk got to match our talk. It means more. It means our conduct should match our faith. And that means that there should be a constant renewing, a constant revolving, and a constant resolving. Why must we constantly renew, revive, and resolve in our Christian walk? Paul gives us a clue, because he said that as we continue to renew, as we continue to revive, as we continue to resolve, praise God, we become more like Jesus Christ. That's what he meant by the phrase renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created us. You see, sadly, many believers accept Jesus Christ and never get much into the taking off of the old self and putting on of the new self, Paul. They never, praise God, get much into the sacrifice, Paul. You see, many of us neglect the renewing and resolving that it takes daily to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say this, anything in life worth having is going to take some sacrifice. And if heaven is truly our home, then there will be some sacrifice right here. We have to crucify the very deeds of our flesh. Can I remind you once again, if you think that you're going to satisfy this flesh, you are sadly mistaken. You are sadly mistaken, because the more you try to satisfy this flesh, praise